Well, good morning. I'm Tom Barrett, and I'm delighted to be here this morning. As we all know, last week, students throughout the state of Wisconsin returned to school. And that's always an exciting time of year as the students go back and the parents are able to work with them when they come home in the evening on their new homework assignments. It's also a time for us to talk about one of the greatest challenges we face here in the state of Wisconsin, and that is how we fund our education system. And from my perspective, this is very much a jobs issue because it's imperative for us to do everything we can to make sure that our kids are competing in a world economy. And several years ago, I traveled over to China and had an opportunity to see over in China a very exciting, dynamic economy. And when I got home in the middle of the night, like most parents, I wanted to go in and give my kids a kiss. But I also, because of that trip to China, wanted to come home in the middle of the night and wake up my kids in the middle of the night and say, okay, go downstairs and start studying right now. Because it was clear to me that the challenges that we face as a state, as a nation, when it comes to education are very, very serious challenges. Now, we're also aware of the fact that right now we're dealing with a very serious budget problem here in the state of Wisconsin. The structural deficit is some $2.7 billion, and that means massive amounts of money in any new program or any existing program will be very difficult to accomplish. So what I want to do this morning is I want to lay out a couple, two key principles that are important to me as I look at the education landscape here in the state of Wisconsin. And this is all predicated on my belief that right now we have a system where there are too many winners and losers in our school systems throughout the state of Wisconsin. And that's not fair to the students, it's not fair to the parents, it's not fair to the communities when we have the winners and losers that are produced under this current system. And the reason for this is we've got a flawed formula. This formula that was, in essence, put into place in 1949 and has been added to and subtracted from for the last 50, 60 years has created even more winners and losers in this process. And what we have to focus on is two realities that are occurring in the state today and make sure that our funding formulas for our public schools recognize these realities. So as governor, I will fight to fix these funding with two key reforms that will help us enact a sensible, equitable funding formula. First, school funding must factor in the real impacts of declining enrollments. I've been in districts, rural districts in particular, throughout the state of Wisconsin, who have seen a decline in enrollment. These districts oftentimes are facing challenges because of transportation costs, but if you have a situation where you've had 27 seventh graders and four families move away and you suddenly have 23 seventh graders, you still have to have the teacher, you still have to have the heating costs, you still have to have the transportation costs, even though you have lost that state funding. And so what I want to make it clear is that we are going to deal with that situation so that you do not see dramatic cuts in districts because of declining enrollments. Just this last year, we probably had 100 school districts that faced cuts as a result of declining enrollments. And I want to make sure that there's a base funding there for these school districts so that they do not have dramatic shifts in their funding because of declining enrollments. The second principle, and this is one that I think is important as well, is for many, many years we've used property values as essentially the sole source for depending on our general aids for school districts. That many years ago may have been a good indicator, but right now I think that we've got communities in this state who do have higher property values but do not have higher income values. And oftentimes these are going to be communities where you have a lot of vacation homes and you'll have people who don't live in the community, oftentimes don't live in the state full time. Their children don't go to school in those districts. Yet because of the property values in those areas, what you're seeing is you are seeing an impact on the amount of aid that they receive from the state. So as a result of that, you've got the children who live in that area the whole school year who are attending school in that community not getting the aid from the state that they need to have in order to have an education where they can compete in a world economy. So what we want to do is we're going to have income levels, not just property values, be a factor in determining state funding for school districts so that there will be an income factor introduced as well. I want to stress that we are not here talking about massive amounts of injections of new money into the school funding formula. We are going to attempt to do this working with the current funding system that we have. We are going to attempt to do it by making sure that education remains the priority. In fact, education is my highest priority as candidate for governor and will be my highest priority as the governor of this state, because it's clear to me as a parent, it's clear to me as a mayor, it's clear to me as a governor that we have to do that. And I can tell you as mayor, I never thought that I would be doing this, but I go into schools and say to kids, hi, I'm Tom Barrett, I'm your mayor, and I'm begging you to stay in school, and I'm begging you to work hard. And I do that because I recognize, as I think most parents do, how important education is in this economy right now. So again, what we want to do is we want to make sure that we are dealing with those real-world problems. And that's what we have to deal with, the real-world problems of areas, and many times they're rural areas, that are seeing declining enrollment, and they simply cannot consolidate with other school districts because the travel distances are too large. To give you an example of this, I was in Park Falls recently, and in Park Falls, that school district is 960 square miles, if you include Butternut, which is basically tucked in there. In contrast, the city of Milwaukee, which I represent, is 96 square miles. So here you have a school district in the north central, northwestern part of the state that's 10 times larger than the largest city in this state. And the difficulties that a district like that faces in terms of enrollment, in terms of transportation, are real world problems. So again, our focus is going to be on making sure that there are no more winners and losers in this, and that kids, regardless of where they live in the state of Wisconsin, have the ability and the resources to compete in this world economy. If there's any questions, we'd be happy to answer any questions.
Would your first budget recommend the state continue two-thirds funding of K-12?
Well, let me talk about that, because I think certainly since 1994, 1995, the state has had that two-thirds commitment in the statutes. But we also recognize, as I think you recognize, that really in the last 10 years, the state has not met that two-thirds funding requirement. In fact, it's still in the 60s, but in the low 60s right now. So it's not even close in dollar terms to what's needed for the two-thirds funding requirement. I would love to stand before you and say that my first budget is going to get us back to two-thirds funding. I think that that will be difficult to do, in all candor, given the finances that we have in the state. My first priority is to make sure it doesn't slip from where it is right now. And that even will be a battle, given where we are right now with the finances of the state. That is my hope, at least at that. But again, when I first declared as a candidate for governor of the state back in November, I think the projected deficit at that time was between $2 billion and $2.1 billion. The most recent Fiscal Bureau numbers put it at $2.5 billion, and that was before the state's Supreme Court decision in the patient's compensation that adds $200 million plus interest. We have not crunched numbers. We have not crunched numbers with this plan. Again, I'm talking about principles here. And what I want to see is I want to see us look at the funding now and make sure that districts have that floor funding. And I anticipate that every legislator will look at it to see how it affects his district or her district. But it's important for the governor of the state to put forward principles. And I think having that principle of making sure we're dealing with those districts with declining enrollment so that you are not putting them at a distinct disadvantage, and also the principle of introducing income as a factor, I think those are fair and equitable factors that need to be included.
How would you define that word? Income, Tom? Would it just be wages and salaries? Would it be other assets, stocks, securities?
We would be working with the legislators. My initial reaction is it would be basically working from 1040s, what people report as their income. Well, I think that Superintendent Evers is really working in a very credible fashion to try to deal with this issue, and I've sat down with him and talked to him about it. I'm interested, obviously I'm not interested, and I want to make it clear, I don't want to see property tax increases. We need to work with the resources that are there. But I certainly think that he is looking in the right direction in terms of trying to find out how we can get those resources into the classroom. To me, this is all about getting resources into the classroom so that our kids can get an education where they can compete in a world economy. Any other questions? Yeah. Well, I have two responses to that. In our plan to put Madison on a diet, we also talk about making sure that we don't have pork. It's something that I oppose, that I've always opposed. But I think oftentimes a person's past behavior is the best indicator of their future behavior. And during the time that Scott Walker was in the legislature, he voted for five consecutive budgets that took the spending of this state from some $26 million per year, per biennium, to $48-49 million per biennium. So by voting for those five consecutive budgets, that was over a $22 million increase, probably some 84% increases. So I'm very skeptical of what he's saying, because he had the opportunity while he was here to vote against those budgets that contained a lot of pork. And because you had a Republican governor, he was more than willing to support the pork in the 1990s. So this switch to become a vegetarian is really a pretty recent switch. Oh, I'm sure that all legislators are voting on projects or on pieces of legislation that don't contain everything that they want. But again, for him to say that he is some sort of guardian about this really is contradicted by the facts of his time in the legislature.
Is Newman's putting $4 million of his own money as a campaign an issue if he's a GOP nominee, Tom?
Well, I'm here to announce that I'm not going to put any of my millions in, because I don't have any millions, just so there's no confusion there. So obviously he can do that. If he's the general election nominee and he's got millions of dollars to spend and he wants to spend it, that's his decision.
You're going to make that a campaign issue?
I'm still waiting to see who's going to win that primary. I think it's obviously gotten much more contested. I think it's heated up over the last several days in a very dramatic fashion. And I'm very much a gentleman, and I've offered to hold both of their coats while they fight. Because clearly the gloves are coming off right now between the two of them.
Thanks, everybody.
Well, I thought it was interesting. I voted against that bill. So I don't know if that was an endorsement of my candidacy, because clearly he's critical of Mark Newman because he voted for it. I voted against that piece of legislation. I'm waiting to see whether he's going to put forth an ad praising me for voting against that. But I think he also sent a letter in support of that legislation as a state representative. So this will show you sort of his history of flip-flops. He, at that time, he sent the letter in support of that legislation. Now he's criticizing Mark Newman for apparently reading that letter and supporting the legislation. I voted because I thought that it was not what was needed. I think we have to have a balanced transportation system in this country. I was concerned with the process very much, because there was money set aside in that bill, $241 million for southeastern Wisconsin. And not in the House version, not in the Senate version, but in the conference committee, that money was essentially stripped out of local control. And that was a real issue for me. Thank you very much. Thank you.
And thank you guys very much.
Thank you, Tom.
Good job.